it shocked me. It flattened me. They're two quality kids who I've known for since they've come to the footy club, and great character. And I find it really hard to comprehend that that they're in this situation. So I guess we're going to find out more from the footy club at 4:30 when they have their press conference, and at some stage we're going to hear from the boys. But it certainly shocked me today.
That was the voice of a retired Premiership captain, Nick Maxwell. He's in shock. The Collingwood Football Club would be in shock. No doubt. No two ways about that. Gary Pert is the Collingwood CEO, and he joins us on Melbourne Tamer Footy. Gary, thanks for your time.
Hey, Mark. How ops? How are you going?
Mate, we're disappointed, like everybody who loves the game and was looking forward to Thursday. Gaz, just with the tone of your voice, yourself and Neil Baum, it sounded like you weren't expecting, I know you got your fingers crossed, but it sounded like you weren't expecting anything different to come with the B sample.
Oh, look, you know, we can't assume anything in that sense. And because it's an ASADA process, I mean, you just got to let the process unfold. But if everyone looks at the likelihood of that in world sport, you know, the odds are that it tends to go one way, which is, you know, as make the whole thing hard, as I listen to Nick Maxwell talk about how disappointed he is. I mean, we're talking about two of the finest young character men in our whole team. So that's, you know, adds to why it's so difficult for everyone around the club.
Gary, transparency is important. It's when it comes to an issue like this, there's no hiding, there's no ducking or weaving. Was it true that the Collingwood Footy Club wanted to get out on the front foot but were blocked by the Players Association?
Oh, look, you know, we, after finding out about this on Friday, we certainly over the weekend thought the transparency was really important, you know, especially for our supporters, but also for the club, the players themselves, and really for the game. We try and be transparent with everything as a club, whether it's good or bad news. And, you know, there was complexities, which we understood with the Players Association and the players' legal representation, that, you know, they had found it a bit hard to sort of get together and form a legal view on where they were at. So we had to work with them and the AFL to finally release the details this afternoon, because we're actually not in a position where we can release any information until the AFL or ASADA has already communicated that detail.
Gary, as a football club, I mean, when the A sample is taken in the 10th of February, on the 10th of February, and the B sample is over 2 months later, the 14th of April, you must be scratching your head. What does that do to your operation?
Well, I think the only thing that we can stay focused on is the players that are still there in the squad, and that was why we spoke to the player group this morning. We literally couldn't say anything because of confidentiality, except that there's two players that aren't here at training this morning. And we mentioned who that was, and we said we can't go into the detail of why, but you got to know that myself and Neil Baum are working through that process to support and help a process reach a conclusion. But at the same time, the player group and the coaches there just have to stay focused on what they can control, and really that's all about the first game. There's no good time for it, but it's very unfortunate, leads into the first game, and it's really going to be up to the players now to rally and put in an appropriate effort.
Gary, if the two players' B samples come back and they're the same as the A sample, and the players are out, does that mean that Collingwood are unable to replace those two players on their list for 2015?
Because we've got to work through all the different scenarios, we've had certain conversations with the AFL, but the potential scenarios, depending on what the ASADA ruling is and also how the players handle it from their representation point of view, can affect how this rolls out afterwards. So rather than deal with hypotheticals without sounding like I'm passing the buck on this one, it's pointless for us to lock into an absolute scenario. We need to focus on what's happening at the moment. We've got to let the ASADA process roll out, which we're supporting, and then we'll deal with the scenarios once they become real.
Gary, Chip Legrand has reported and says this is the first case under the new wider rules, the new rules, which means they could be looking at a 4-year penalty. Now, we've We've seen Ahmed Saad and a few other people. You know, Ahmed's obviously a match day drug, but it was always going to be a 2 year. 4 years is a really long time. Do the players, do they understand it's a 4 year term that they could miss?
Oh, look, you know, I certainly haven't had that conversation. And again, there are, you know, there are different levels and different sanctions available to ASADA. And it's really important with the confidentiality that we're bound by, that we leave the process and the sanctions up to ASADA. And we just deal with the elements that we control here at the club. But, you know, 4 years is substantial in the life of a professional athlete. There's no doubt about that.
When two players are tested positive, Gary, within one club, the club is then subject to target testing. Will the club also be targeted for review, or will any of the dealings internally be reviewed externally by any investigation?
Well, we welcome as much testing as possible, to be quite honest. And, you know, the thing for us, though, as a club, since we've got this advice from ASADA about the investigation on Friday, we have an independent integrity officer who audited our entire nutrition and diet program at the start of the Essendon saga. He's come back over the weekend and today to continue to review where we're at with our program. And he came back and said that there is absolutely no chance that these positive tests can be related or as a result of our program. So, you know, that was really important for us to know that. So there's no changes required here.
Tomorrow in the papers and then probably on, you know, callers tonight, Gary, everyone's going to be saying that this is a distraction to the 2015 season. How's Bucks going to pull through this one, I guess? We all know he's going to pull through, but is it going to be a distraction?
Well, I was literally sitting with Bucks talking about all these things just when you rang. But, you know, this is the coach and the players of all of the clubs have to deal with different challenges at different times, and they've just got to find a way to come up and perform. And I mean, one of the things we've all admired while Essendon were going through their issues, they continued to perform on field. We have a big list of players, and you know, if we look at this, like injuries to two players or a lack of availability, we still have a list of players, highly talented, that we're going to expect to go out and win on the weekend. And you know, we've got a trusted group of coaches and assistant coaches that'll actually lead them in that. In that exercise coming into, you know, what is a big game now, even bigger than what it was being built up to be. But that first game is critically important for us.
Gary, are the players well aware of the new anti-doping regulations in relation to penalties now, that it's up to 4 years? Are they aware of that?
Yeah, the Players Association, the AFL and the club certainly has a very active educational program, which includes updates to any of the policies. So the players definitely presented this and go through training programs. Ox, you know what it's like when you sit in those sessions.
Yep.
Certain players will absorb more information than others, but in what impact this can have on their professional careers, the information's available. We continue to promote it and educate the players, which is why it's probably even harder when these incidents end up at this point.
Gary, do you trust what the players tell you?
Oh, look, when I talk to the players, whenever you talk about an incident, I think you've got to initially have conversations and trust that's where it's at. And then it relies on further investigation on any of these serious issues to establish how accurate that information is. Suffice to say, because of the serious nature of this, we will be leaving the investigation to ASADA. This is not about a minor incident like a player was out having a drink on a Friday night or something.
This is a big one.
Serious incident. ASADA has the information. They have the expertise and the authority to deal with this. We already have, and we will continue to support them and the AFL in this investigation. At the same time, From a welfare support point of view, we'll also continue to support the players and we'll let the investigation roll out from there.
Gary, on to another player at the club, Jack Crisp. We believe that he's been fined $5,000 after the betting investigation has concluded. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, so obviously I think our supporters would know that before Jack got to the Collingwood Football Club, he'd placed a bet and was held accountable by the AFL, and they announced today that he would be fined $5,000 rather than being suspended.
Gary, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, and good luck in 2015.
Great. Thanks, guys.